$2.50 a gallon as I go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Now, I have to say, my daughter.
Davidson. Newt Gingrich is on my TV right now. I gotta get it turned off. I can't handle it. It distracts me. We might hear him over the microphone. I got a new microphone here trying to make everything work just fine on the Norman Knight Show. But we're here for the next 60 minutes and I got it out on the tweet. I got it out on Facebook. I'm hoping that, you know, we get some callers tonight. Because we're going to talk about the state of the Super Tuesday primary. Nothing really unusual or wasn't predicted has happened. I want to talk some more about Rush Limbaugh. What you think about how he said what he said, but also something nobody's really talking about. And that's how you feel about what he said, what he intended to say, the point he was trying to make. And probably the single most important thing that may be developing over the next few nights, and that is the confrontation with Iran. And, well, first of all, to the Republican primaries, as it stands now, Romney's won three states. He's won Massachusetts, Vermont, and Virginia. Santorum has won Oklahoma and Tennessee, and Newt Gingrich has carried Georgia. Ohio is much too close to call right now, although Santorum in Ohio absolutely astounds me. He's so worried about somebody taking birth control that he didn't even think to get a slate of delegates on the ballot. I don't know if you can do to be named later or not, but they didn't even do that. And so districts where he's going to win, he's not going to have any delegates because he doesn't have any names submitted. It's absolutely amazing. And then the guy wants to be president. Why would anybody want Rick Santorum to be president? Somebody out there, and obviously, you know, I'm saying a thing like that, but there's tens of thousands, probably millions, if you add them all up, of the people that have voted for him, who want Rick Santorum to be the president of the United States. Why? Somebody tell me why. It is utterly unbelievable. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. In fact, I don't know how somebody from his background could even become a Republican. Has Santorum forgotten how much the Republicans hated Catholics? Oh, yes, hated us. the Protestant establishment. We are all popery. And then, you know, Jack Kennedy goes and breaks the hold on that the president, he'll listen to the Pope. Jack Kennedy breaks that and gets elected. And then Santorum, he crawls on his belly back to these evangelicals and says that Jack Kennedy makes him sick to his stomach. Because of how he treated faith and religion. Well, let me tell you something. There's lots of reasons Jack Kennedy might make you sick to your stomach. But that wasn't one of them. That was a high moment for Jack Kennedy. And I know there's probably a ton of you out there that don't believe that. The worst thing we can do, and it was right from the founding fathers, is get God bless religion mixed up with our politics. All religion does is get people to kill each other, trying to go to the promised land. And so I just need somebody to explain to me how you possibly could vote for Rick Santorum. The number is 347-945-6713. That's the call-in number. You can get on with Norm at Night. I'd love to get some Santorum callers in here. Talk to me about them. Tell me about them. Why should you vote for them? And while you're at it, hopefully we get a bunch of you in here. Let's call a Republican night on the Norm at Night show. Get some Mitt Romney people on the phone. How can anybody possibly want Mitt Romney to be president? At least somebody out of the labor past of America. And remember, if you're going to call Norm at Night, you're calling somebody who works in American manufacturing, who worked in a blast furnace, who unloaded coal boats, who unloaded railroad cars, who rode a trash truck, somebody who went to college, went to graduate school, not only came out with no debt, but actually made a profit, if you would. Besides the education, yeah, it can be done. I can remember when I was in graduate school, they called me an anti-intellectual because I believed in workers and I believed in labor unions. Or trade unionism, as they used to call it. The union movement has allowed me, at least, and my family, to realize the American dream. And I won't abandon that movement. Now, I'm not. And then, if we're going to get a Santorum person calling in, and hopefully we'll get a Romney person calling in, I'd love a Gingrich person calling in. In fact, I'd like Mitt Romney, Rick Santorum, and Newt Gingrich to all call the Norm at Night show. Wouldn't that be a gas? To have the three of them here. That would be a giant trip. And let's not forget, Cleo the Leo, if you're listening out there, we haven't forgotten Ron Paul. In fact, if there's anybody on the Republican side of the aisle that I could possibly vote for instead of President Obama, it would be Ron Paul. He's got some wackies. There's no question about that. He's got some wackies. But there's no question about that Ron Paul is the only one who wants to end, excuse me, this dangerous American adventurism and period of warfare that we are engaging in. I was very sad. I voted for Barack Obama in the Maryland primary the last time out, even though I've been a Clinton lover and fanatic since Bill was elected. And I was all for Hillary, and I was really excited that Hillary was going to be running for president. Nonetheless, it was the peace initiatives of Barack Obama, at least the ones he talked about, that made that decision for me in that Maryland primary. I have been disappointed by the foreign policy record of Barack Obama. Of that there is no doubt. But not because, as Republican wackos seem to be saying, he's too pacifist, that he, it's because he's practically a warmonger. He's committing acts of war all over the world. And it just can't continue. He's killing American citizens without due process. And if he can claim that an American citizen in Africa is a danger to the United States and simply kill him with a missile strike, I believe it isn't a long stretch before he does the same thing to an American citizen right here in Bowie, Maryland. You can't just kill people because they don't like what you think, because they say they want to destroy you. We have due process in the United States of America, and we need to continue to keep due process. I realize that I'm beginning to sound like some kind of nutcase here from the left side of the aisle. You know, I always make jokes that I have to look to the right to see Barack Obama. Well, that's not a joke. And I don't want to come back to the center. But with these Republican candidates, Gingrich, Santorum, Romney, and Ron Paul, who actually I could vote for, I won't have any choice but to vote for Barack Obama, unless, of course, and I don't want to leave him out because I love to listen to him. He used to be a Democrat. I don't know why he changed. But the former governor of Louisiana, Buddy Romer. I'd love to get Buddy Romer on the show and talk to him. Let me go and see if anybody's listening to us in chat. Let's see here. Where's that chat? Hey, I got a bunch of people in the chat. Welcome to the Norm at Night Show. Colt, I'm glad to see you. I hope you'll get on here soon. Guest 9301, I hope you're enjoying the show. If you got anything you want me to relate to the audience, just write it here in the chat room. And we had about 400 archive listens this past week, so we're starting to hit our stride again. I understand that we're not going to be a completely live show, though I'd like it to be, and I'd like the conversation to get a little more scintillating than just listening to me. But that's the presidential field. Should somebody have primaried? Barack Obama? That's really a tough question. You hate to do that inside your party, but somebody should have. He had 60 votes and did nothing with them. I can never forgive him for that. He said that elections have consequences, and then he didn't follow through with any of those consequences. Now, let's shift topics a little bit here. Let me see if I got anybody coming into the main room. Still no calls, but I know you're out there listening. So 347-945-6713 is the call-in number. Let me go and see if there's any change to the presidential election. Let's see. Oh, gosh. Clear the Leo, give us a call if you're listening. 347-945-6713. Oh, my Lord. Clear the Leo, one of my tweeters, says that she's debating whether or not Barack Obama was influenced by Bob Newhart. Doesn't appear to be any change in things here, fans. Chuck Todd says Santorum and his support seems to be understated all over the place. In other words, more people are voting for him than anybody thinking. Apparently, Rick Santorum is leading in Ohio. Well, that's really kind of sad because that's almost a vindication. You know, everybody says that, you know, nobody's paying attention to Rush Limbaugh anymore because of what he said. And I want to talk a little bit about that before the show's over. Maybe people are listening to Rush Limbaugh, and that's a real scary thing. Bob Schrum, another liberal mouthpiece, calls Virginia a joke. Well, we'll see what happens. Oh, God. apparently Republicans are not coming out in high numbers, even though, for example, the president has 102,000 votes in Ohio. If he gets more than Romney and Santorum together, I guess he'll just, one of the tweeters I follow says, just count the state for Obama right now. Whoa. Yeah, nothing in the tweet room. Let's see. I guess I should throw MSNBC. Up on my screen and see what they say about what's going on. They really haven't changed much. They got, so we still got Romney winning Massachusetts, Vermont, and Virginia, and Santorum winning Oklahoma and Tennessee, Gingrich, Georgia. There's a whole bunch of others going on, and states that the polls don't close for a couple hours. Ron Paul made a run for it in Virginia against, it's interesting. No results for Wyoming. No results for Alaska. Gingrich got just under 50%. Interesting thing. Romney was second. No results in Idaho. Gosh, Romney got 72% in Massachusetts. North Dakota goes to Santorum. Wow. Right now, Santorum is leading in Ohio, but it's too close to call. Oklahoma to Santorum. Tennessee to Santorum. Vermont goes to Romney. Second place goes to Ron Paul. Virginia goes to Romney. Wyoming, no results yet. Alaska, no results yet. Georgia. Okay, so that's where things are. I still got nobody calling, and we got 9301 guest. You know what I would like some statistics on? I'm going to change the topic here a little, and we'll go back. And I don't know how you get these statistics. How do we find out exactly how many Catholics do use birth control? And how do we find out exactly how many, the percentage of single women versus married women that use birth control? I just had somebody check into the chat room that Santorum's kid is yawning while his father's giving his victory speech. This whole process has to be just simply exhausting. They've probably been up since 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm yawning here at the Norman Knight Show. The other thing I'd like to know is how many people are given birth control prescriptions for reasons other than preventing conception of a fetus. Is it better than half? Is it less than half? Can you surmise that, or how many women take or request birth control from their doctors at the behest of their partners? So they don't have to worry about fathering a child. Yes, I use the word father there. That's an important distinction. It's a slippery slope. I don't know the answer. It's really an incredible turn of affairs. Very odd, very, very odd. There's no question that Rush Limbaugh went over the edge in how he talked about the law student from Georgetown University. I don't know the answer. I don't pretend to know the answer. But I sure would like a conversation to see if we can reach some reaction or some answer. Give me a call, somebody. 347-945-6713. I'm really tired of talking to myself here. It's been about a half hour. I need somebody to bounce some ideas off of. I'm going to go ask Google some questions while we're on this let's see what Google says is the answer. First question I'll ask, what percentage of American women over 18 are taking contraceptives? Facts on contraceptive use in the United States. Here we go. This is from the Guttmacher Institute. Sexual and reproductive health worldwide. Right now, there are 62 million, these numbers obviously are all approximate. There are 62 million women in the United States in their childbearing years, which are determined to be between the ages of 15 and 44. About 70% of those women are sexually active and do not want to become pregnant, but could become pregnant if they fail to use contraceptives. Typical U.S. woman wants two children. In order to do that, she's got to use contraceptives if she's going to be sexually active, and I think she should be able to be, for roughly three decades. According to the Guttmacher organization, 99% of women between the ages of 15 and 44 who have ever had sexual intercourse have used at least one contraceptive method. Oh, well, Father so-and-so, apparently nobody's listening to you. 62% of the 62 million are using some method. The real interesting thing is one-third of the 62 million women do not need a method because they're infertile, are pregnant, or have just had a baby. Okay. This is stunning. Only 7% of women aged 15 to 44 are at risk for unintended pregnancy. Well, if that's the case, wow. Okay, now we have those kinds of statistics. Let's see. There's about 10 million women in the, almost 11 million women in the United States who use a contraceptive pill. That's 27% of users. Pretty shocking that tubal sterilization accounts for another almost, well, about 10.5 million or 27.1%. $6 million or 16% of women depend on the males using a condom. That's not very bright on their part, the women. If you don't want to become pregnant, you should not. Well, you should take care of that all by yourself. And this must mostly be among married people. Male vasectomies, about 10%. Oh, my God, 2 million people use Vatican Roulette. Unbelievable. That's the periodic abstinence or withdrawal method. Some people, well, I don't know. So the fact of the matter is, I don't even know why we're having this discussion. Hey, you're on with Norm at Night. Go ahead, right in the middle of our survey of contraceptive methods.
Oh, okay. How you doing tonight?
Well, we're doing all right. Enjoying myself. I was just finding some statistics. I have no idea why we're even worrying about this contraceptive debate. According to the statistics I've been able to find on the internet, 99% of all women in childbearing ages use contraception.
Yeah, it's a huge number. And they find it totally compatible with their, you know, religious belief.
Well, I mean, oh, God, the thing that, and then Rush Limbaugh gets everybody fired up, and the real things we should be worrying about, like blowing up the world, nobody's paying any attention to.
Yeah. Well, I think Obama's speech this afternoon, boy, he hit pretty hard. And particularly his, views on Iran and all of that, and telling the Republicans to tone it down. because he's the president saying, I know what I'm doing. I've done this before. You haven't. I mean, it was, well, somewhat condescending, but at the same time, he is the president, and he does have the experience.
Yeah, but...
And he sounded, he sounded like his old anti-war self, prior to being president. So...
Well, I miss his old anti-war stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, well, sure. Well, at least he's...
There's a wild card here. Jimmy Carter realized it, and that's why he didn't do anything rash. The Russians have ICBMs, and they're pointed at us still.
Yeah.
And ours are pointed at them. Israel goes off half nuts and starts blowing up Iran, and a confrontation starts, especially now that Putin's back in charge.
Mm-hmm.
He needs something to deflect the people from him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're eyeball to eyeball with the Russians.
Well, there's a couple things, as far as Iran goes. It was just a few years ago that the Russians sold the Iranians a fairly sophisticated air defense system. So the Israelis have got to get through that. They know, and
what?
the other too is that, it turns out that they do have some air refueling tankers, but they've only got like 8 or 9 of them. So
at most,
they could hit one target.
The fact is the Russians gave some, quote, sophisticated air defense systems to the Egyptians and the Syrians, and their planes didn't even get off the ground against the Israelis.
Well, yeah, but that was a totally different situation. Come on now. I know they were all destroyed on the ground pretty much in,
67
war, yeah. Yeah, that's actually, the strategy in that was absolutely amazing. I mean, what the Israelis pulled off was, if you ever watch it on History Channel, it's pretty incredible.
Oh, no, and the thing, everybody always thinks the Arabs attacked the Israelis. That's not what happens at all.
Right. Well, this was the first of the preemptive strikes, and it worked out just fine.
Oh, you forgot 48?
Yeah. Well, I mean, on a major scale, So, but I think the Israel, at least the very far right, the hawks, they probably think that if they were to do something like that, they drag us into it anyway. So whether they have our consent or not, cooperation or not, they're going to end up with our support no matter what. That's pretty much, I think, the view of the far right in Israel. So, and that's more or less where it's going to be decided.
Well, one of the things I was kind of happy about, and I hope, is that, listen, Israel, we're the dog, you're the tail.
Uh-huh.
And the tail ain't going to wag this dog.
Well.
We have national interests, too. And they're not served by a war in the region.
Oh, of course not. I mean, let's see. I mean, even during the Iraq invasion, now, they highly supported that. In fact, encouraged it. But there were also those on the right who wanted to go further. They saw Iraq as a stepping stone to Iran. That's what it was. And it really annoys them that we pulled back from that position.
Well, Well, I still don't understand how everyone can forget the fact that Saddam Hussein and his Iraqis killed a million Iranians.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, well, we were on both sides of that war.
How long did that war go? We weren't on both sides.
Oh, the hell
we
were.
We were on the Iraq side
initially, and when the Iranians started to get beat, we realized the imbalance of power in the region, and then we supplied Iran with all the parts they needed to keep all those all their, because most of their military was especially Air Force, they were still using old American planes, so we supplied them with an incredible amount of armament to balance the war again. You didn't know that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, we were on both sides of it, so that's where it was. And the chemicals, and we knew that Hussein had the chemical weapons because we had the receipts. We sold it to him.
Yeah, but he used them all in the war.
Well,
he didn't have anything left.
Well, we didn't really know that, or if we did know it, it was conveniently disregarded or forgot.
We knew that. I'm sorry, George Bush should go to jail for what he did there.
Well, he would be a war criminal in some countries, you know. I remember Rumsfeld had to make a quick dash out of Europe once.
Oh, they were coming after him, huh?
Oh, yeah. They wanted to haul his ass out to Belgium. They would have tried him there if they caught him.
What are the chances of the Russians getting involved on the Iranian side? I mean, this is serious. Or on the Syrian side, if we start bombing Syria.
Yeah.
And when the Russians get involved, you are now involving a country that has nuclear weapons they can shoot back at you.
Yeah, well, I would say they have a long-standing relationship with Iran. They probably know more about the Iranian nuclear program than anybody, since they've been assisting them all along. So I would say that there's a high probability they would lend some kind of support. I mean, they've been doing it for decades. I mean, what the hell?
And what happens? The Iranians get lucky. And in the Straits of Hormuz, it doesn't take a lot to get lucky. It puts one of those carriers on the bottom.
Oh, of course. No, they have the missiles and the capability to hit our ships in Bahrain. There's no question about it.
And what if they do?
And what if they do, exactly? What if they do?
Now it gets real big.
Right, now you do have a war.
And the real wackos in Israel drop one of their 10 nukes on them.
Well, that's... I don't know about that. I think
once the fire starts, you don't put it out.
Right. Well, you know, we've avoided escalation of that sort before. I mean, as close as we ever got was in Cuba. As far as I know, there could have been some other accidents along the way.
A couple of other times where we were eyeball to eyeball with them, but both sides had too much to lose.
Well, of course.
But the Iranians don't know. Well, there's a whole bunch of arguments whether or not you can consider the Iranians a rational actor.
Yeah. Well, let's consider, too, that it wasn't that long ago you had widespread dissent and protest in Iran. And the idea behind this whole sanction thing is, again, to stir enough unrest, within the population, now. Their currency is practically worthless. Most of the merchants in Tehran and most of the cities are only accepting American currency. There's a lot of it around, by the way. It's all over the place. In fact, in the Middle East, that's the standard currency.
I know. Yeah.
And, you know, this takes a long time to do, but, you know, for what another thing, they don't produce their own gasoline. They have no refineries. They have to import it all. There's a lot of problems with Iran. I mean, aside from the new ones that are going to come. You know, you're going to see hunger, you know. Eventually,
That's all the more reason for them to go to war.
Oh, well, I mean, it's conceivable. I don't deny it.
They're going to just one day, oh, we're hungry? All right, we give up. You can come and inspect us. Does anybody think that's really going to happen?
I don't know. They've had inspectors in there before. Maybe they're good at hiding stuff, too. It's hard to say. And, you know,
then there is the really horrible question. Why can't they handle a nuclear weapon?
Well, yeah. Now we got to bring in the whole issue of Israel. I mean,
what
is anybody over there inspecting their nukes? They won't even admit that they have them.
What if the? I think they admit it now.
No, I don't think so.
What if the Iranians say, "All right, we will recognize Israel's right to exist. In return, we get to have a weapon to counter theirs."
Oh. Nobody's agreeing to that.
What if they propose it?
Oh. They'd have to reverse 40 years of, rhetoric and propaganda.
That.
That's kind of difficult.
We're willing to do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, there was a day when China was our mortal enemy. In fact, there was a day before Richard Nixon flew there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other problem is that, as you just said, the Israelis would never accept it. Now the Iranians have taken the high ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Russians suddenly are on their side. The Chinese who use their oil are suddenly on their side.
Well, you know, even China has pulled back. They were on schedule to develop an enormous natural gas field in Iran. I mean, a $100 billion investment. And they canceled it. I mean, you know, obviously they did a risk assessment and said, we can find gas somewhere else. So, because you got to know this,
yeah,
too.
I mean, this place, it could go, and it can escalate immediately.
Here's the thing. We don't know how stable the Iranians are in terms of, there's the rhetoric that comes out of Aminadijad. I can't pronounce it.
Aminadijad.
Yeah.
We don't even wait for the Iranians to do it. We propose to them, you recognize Israel's right to exist, and we'll guarantee your right to develop a nuclear program.
That's Norm. That's crazy. That's not. That's
why
nobody is going to consent to that. That's worse than Chamberlain's deal with Hitler.
How is that worse?
Because you're giving them something. You're giving them the ability to develop any type of nuclear program they want in exchange for a promise, a word.
Well,
you know,
right now, the whole reason that there's any justification to blowing them up or attacking them is because they said Israel has no right to exist.
Yeah, well, most of the Islamic world thinks that's true.
Not the Egyptians anymore. Not the Jordanians anymore.
Now, there's something that could change any time. I mean, they do get $3 billion a year in, blood money or a bribe so that they don't invade.
Are we talking about the Jordanians?
No, they're both getting money.
The Egyptians and the Jordanians.
Yes, exactly.
And now the Libyans will be joining in, and the Tunisians.
Yeah, well, you know, they're not.
We're trying to buy the whole freaking world. Ronnie Wall, where are you?
Yeah, well, here we are. You know, I mean, part of that agreement was we paid off the Jordanians and the Egyptians to secure their borders and recognize Israel, and they get money every year, you know. I think Israel still gets more foreign aid than anyone else, and I think Egypt and Jordan are within the top five, you know.
Well, you know, wait a minute. Why is it such a crazy idea? You recognize Israel's right to exist, and we'll guarantee you the right to the peaceful development of nuclear power with our right to inspect it.
Well, that's more. That could be on the table right now. I mean, if in fact they're developing. Here's the point. Once they get enough plutonium. It depends where they put it.
And we'll recognize your right to self-defense.
Yeah, well, let's look at this. Well, they always, you know, they have a right to self-defense no matter what. You know, that's...
And here's a real... We will guarantee that Israel won't attack you. And we will guarantee to the Israelis that Iran won't attack you.
Yeah,
and
well...
neither of the parties does it.
Except that we can't enforce
States.
Either of those. We can't enforce either of those things. You do know that we don't have any military treaty with Israel. None.
That's not true.
That is true. We have strategic agreements. We share information and technology.
Those are alliances.
But they can do whatever they want, you know, unilaterally, like attacking Iran, and they don't have to consult with us. They want it that way.
Well, that would change, too, if I was the president of the United States.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyway... About the only thing, one thing that, let's say, okay, these facilities are going underground, as we know they are and all that, you know, even when you go underground with this sort of thing, you have to have an entrance and an exit. And if you destroy those, because those are on the surface,
well,
if you destroy those... Everybody underground is staying there.
But you also have to know where they are.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
And I'm sure there's more than one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway.
Well, there would be if it was my place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I certainly hope nothing goes that way. I was a little disturbed by Panetta a few weeks back, who literally came out and said that he thought an Israeli attack was imminent.
Hold on, Carol. Go ahead, 202. You're on with Norm.
Greetings. Yes, I just wanted to chime in and note the cultural aspect of the debate.
Go ahead, we're listening.
In that Iran, culture as rich as Iran, from which Rumi originated in these epic love poems, surely there's certainly the love comes with the hate. And certainly for a country such as this, there needs to be the debate ongoing with the discussions, and hopefully we can have this debate as Obama set forth. So I'm hopeful that that there can be understanding between the different countries involved.
And how do we go about that? How do we do this?
Well, there needs to be a discussion at the round table, as Obama said, and I mean it's an interesting question, but there probably should be more on the table. In terms of, I heard you say earlier that recognizing Israel's right to exist, that's a first step.
Yeah, but that was for a big trade. That's a big trade on the Iranians' part. And so you got to give them something big, like the right to a nuclear program.
It would be a bold move. Certainly.
Yeah. See, there's one thing I'll say about Iran is that they really have no need.
I mean, love poetry.
They have
nice,
no need for nuclear power. I mean, the amount of natural gas they've got there you could build generators all over the place and they'll last another century. And they have vast reserves. So they don't need it for electricity. So what the hell else do you need a nuclear plant for? They don't need it. I mean, that's the truth. Granted, they've got to develop all this stuff. I mean, you know, now we know General Electric makes wonderful turbines, and we could send them over there.
Well, no, but the point is that if you're willing to do that, I won't even just a nuclear program. If they make weapons, they make weapons. But everybody knows we're talking deterrence, just like us and the Russians. You're balanced against each other, and either side uses them, the other side is gone. G-O-N-E.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's one thing. When you have countries like Iran who are marginalized, in other words, you've cornered them and they have very few options, that's when nuclear capability seems like a good idea. Certainly North Korea. I mean, if they didn't have, they have like 8 warheads or something like that, they're going to be able to get concessions from the rest of the world. And Pakistan, I think, you know, you've got a similar situation there. You don't see us breaking off from them. We're still sending
them.
Okay,
we got about 30 seconds left here on the live portion of the program. The rest will be recorded, and we're going to keep going here. So if you're listening live, you can go and get the archive in about an hour. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, anyway, you know, it's when they don't have very many options, economic options, what have you, then this is all they've got left. So they're going to go for it. So let's remember, you know, Iran has been under sanctions for a very, very long time.
Right. That's right, they have. Okay,
you know,
one last word here from everybody. Ohio's still too close to call, folks.
Mm-hmm.
202, you want to say one last thing before we call it a night here?
Your guest? Is your guest down?
Yeah, 202
well,
still here.
I think as far as the debate go, I thought it was interesting. Mr. Matthews tweeted in that it's the southern issue with the evangelicals. It's seems like it's a close race in terms of how it's going to play out in the South. It may come down to some of those close states down in the South.
Mm.
Yeah, that's it. And another thing that sort of surprised people tonight was the actual number of votes that Santorum actually got. You know, there might be a lot of liberal people thinking that Rush Limbaugh is a crackpot, and I by no means condone the words he used, but the sentiment that he held is held by a lot of people. And those,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going to happen to the Republican Party.
Well,
hopefully it will self-destruct. And
well, with Romney,
will.
Yeah, Romney is assured destruction. I mean, you consider for all the bluster of the Tea Party and the far right within the Republican Party, and all of these far-right conservatives that were running for the nomination, they're going to get the most liberal one. They're going to get the moderate. I mean, you know, it's really absurd. I mean, to think that this guy, you know, I just watched a brief thing, Chris Matthews, during the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And they found three separate clips of Romney endorsing Obamacare or saying that.
No, I've seen, yes.
I mean,
I've
it was crazy. And, you know, and the guy
went
around the country saying he never said that. And there were three in a row. I mean, he was on Meet the Press and he was saying these things.
I know, but that was for the state level, not for the national level. The program is perfect for the state level, but because that's what we needed. I'm just being Mitt Romney now. That's what we needed in Massachusetts, but it's not a good program.
Oh,
for
no. He said he was very pleased that they were using his program as a blueprint for a national program.
Right, but now that they've done it, that's what he's going to say. It's pretty clear that it doesn't work. I wonder what would have happened if from the beginning he said, it's a great program. It's a great program for Americans, period.
Mm.
It works in Massachusetts. I made it work in Massachusetts. This guy isn't making it work in the country. I know about it. I created it. I will fix it for the country.
Oh,
he has done that from the beginning.
That would have been an interesting take. I don't know how well it would sell, but it's probably better than what he's trying to do now. You know.
Oh yeah, I mean, I know. And you know what? Once he's got the nomination, he may just do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The guy has had both sides of nearly every issue. It's amazing. You have these tapes where when he ran for governor in Massachusetts, he had to run as a moderate, and he called himself a progressive. I mean, there was no way he was going to...
Thomas killed him in Ohio.
Yeah, he's up by...
10,000 votes.
By 10,000, yeah. Okay, well...
Unbelievable. Hey, well, thanks for calling, guys, and we'll see you next week. We'll continue the Iranian debate. We'll continue the Rush Limbaugh debate. And we'll definitely continue the Republican debate.
Okay.
It's been a great program. Thanks for calling. All you people in the chat room, thanks very much. If it's Tuesday, it's Norm at Night, and we're out of here. Night, guys.
Good night, Norm.